This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
If you have your Bibles, which I hope that you do, if you turn to Psalm 121, Psalm 121, we'll read that this morning, and we'll go through that this morning. We're going through the Psalm of Ascents that started last week. Phil kicked that off with Psalm 120 last week, and I've been given the charge to do the next Psalm, Psalm 121. Let me read that for us. Follow along as I read. A song of ascents. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your word. We're so thankful that you have given us this light to see the path to go, that we have the comfort of this psalm. We pray as our hearts are going here, there, and everywhere, you would guide us back to the promises that are in your word. Pray that the eyes would be opened, the ears would be opened, the mind would be opened to hear, to understand your word here and the truth that is so glorious. So I pray that you would penetrate these truths deep down into our hearts this morning. You would use them for your glory and for your purposes. Amen. Over the last few weeks, I've talked to several of you who have had to cancel summer travel plans, including myself. For some of you, it was your yearly vacation to Colorado. For some, it was having to cancel flights to see family. For others, it was work trips that had to be rescheduled. I mean, I know the elders and I were looking forward to a pastor's conference in April that had to be canceled, and a lot of the ladies were looking forward to a women's conference in June that had to be postponed because of the travel precautions. But some of you had to travel. My family had to emergency fly back here on one of the last flights out of our country. Medical personnel had to courageously travel back to and fro airports and across cities to care for people. Some people risked traveling in order to see their first grandchild. I'm not going to mention any names, but some have. All of these travel plans have been affected because of our authorities who have said that it's not safe to travel in this season. This pandemic has brought to light some of the dangers of traveling. We've just been so used to hopping on a plane and not thinking anything of it. Going into our car and traveling miles with no disturbances, not having to think twice about dangers. But this virus has caused us to think twice before traveling. We came up from Texas to here after our self-imposed two-week quarantine there, and I remember traveling that 400-mile drive up here, and we told the kids, okay, we're not going to stop anywhere. We're just going to stop once, and that's just to fill the tank with gas. No bathroom breaks, no nothing. I had to hold the handle, you know, with a towel so that I wouldn't touch the handle to ruin our two-week quarantine. And that was we didn't do that before, but we had to be aware of some of these dangers on our travels. Well, as we come to Psalm 121, we can understand the pilgrim's need for confidence in the journey for protection. And this is the fallout from Psalm 120. If what we heard last week from the opening of the Psalm of Ascent, that we are on a refugee pilgrimage, well then what now? We've left the security and the safety of the world and its pleasures and its promises, and we have left that and we are on our way, like Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress. We are on that journey towards our heavenly city, and what happens if there's stuff on the way? What if there's dangers on the way? What if there's issues on the way? What is going to happen to us? The pilgrimage that the Jewish people would be on wasn't easy. We aren't talking about having to call AAA because of a flat tire for some roadside assistance. It's much more dangerous than that. They are a prime target for a number of issues. The journey to Jerusalem is like, it's like a hike in the Rocky Mountains in southern New Mexico in the middle of the summer with no hiking gear and only sandals. Oh yeah, and it's like the Wild West with gangs and outlaws everywhere. This is the trek that they're making up to Jerusalem, not an easy stroll. Some of these dangers that are directly addressed in these Psalms are your foot slipping, causing bodily harm, blisters, ankle twisting, torn ACLs, robbers during the night, ready to ransack all your belongings, heat stroke with this lack of trees and scorching heat. There's so many things that can happen to the traveler on their way to Jerusalem on this ascent. And then comes this psalm, Psalm 121, one of comfort, one of relief, because it tells the journeyman, you're not alone on this. The one who has called you on this journey, the person who called you out on this, is the same one who is going to keep you to the end. The one who's going to travel along with you in this journey. And this is the hope and the confidence during an extremely dangerous journey. Are you, in this season, are you anxious? Are you worried? Do you get worn out trying to protect yourself and your family? Are you living in fear of what might happen to you or even your business in this economic downturn? Where do you go in times like these? What are you looking to? What are you depending upon for protection? I'm not asking for the Sunday school answer. I'm asking about your initial reaction to these things on a Tuesday afternoon when you first hear the news. What's your initial reaction? Do you think that you are strong enough to handle crisis our way? And what if you can't handle it? We will all eventually stub a toe, get tired, get frustrated on our journey. And do you believe that God is also frustrated with you on your failings? And this psalm is here to guide us to answer that with a resounding never. He's never tired of us. He's never frustrated with us. When I read the whole of the Bible, I read of this God who is in pursuit of broken and hurting people, a God who is against what we like to call the American spirit, the pride of doing it all by yourself and your hard work. Because for some weird and crazy reason, God loves those who are beaten down, who are weary, who are frustrated, exhausted, upset, who are completely vulnerable. And he comes near to them. He gives them protection. But those who want their own credit, he leaves to themselves to what they want. I've been debating whether to share this with you all. I saw this church sign recently, you know, those on the outside on the church billboards, you know, they show this. And the sign read, "Don't ask God what he can do for you, but ask what you can do for God." If that is the most blasphemous saying I've ever heard. God wants you to go to him and he wants to help you. He wants to come alongside. He wants to protect you. He is our keeper. Where are we finding ourselves this morning? Running to God and saying, "Help me." If we are, we will certainly find the answer that he has been there all along, protecting our every move, our every step, lovingly keeping watch over us and keeping us from harm. How do we know this? Well, let's take a look at the psalmist's confidence in God's protection based on his character. So if you have your notes, if you need to, you can scroll down to the bottom of this live stream of this archive and get the notes of this sermon. It's there, and you can follow along on the message. It has four characteristics. So we're going to look at four characteristics of God's protection that give us confidence on our journey home. Four characteristics of the God's protection that give us confidence. So the first is God's protection is authoritative. God's protection is authoritative. You see that in verses 1 and 2. It says, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. When the pilgrims lift their eyes to the mountains, this could be for a couple of different reasons, a couple of different ways. In one sense, the mountains and hills were a symbol of where the gods lived. It's on these high places that they would put their temples and their idols and their shrines and their altars. It's where the nations would go to seek their God's protection, get omens, get curses removed, and blessings from these gods. So the psalmist is wondering if he is going to get help from these gods. I look up my eyes to these mountains, and am I going to get help from those idols? Or it could be in another sense. As these pilgrims look at the daunting task of climbing up this grand mountain, this Rocky Mountains, how are they going to be able to face all the dangers that await them on their journey? They look huge, overwhelming, impossible to overcome alone. How are they going to do it? And both of these work. Both of these ways work. And it won't make a difference on the emphasis on the psalmist's point, that he looks to the maker of these mountains. Our eyes, they so easily grab to lesser things. Our eyes look to lesser things. What do we immediately run to in times of trouble? We immediately go to news reports, family members, doctors, Google. This is one of the big takeaways from our time in South Asia, with our biggest learning from our brothers and sisters there, that when a crisis happens, from huge ones like major surgeries to minor scraping of knees, they immediately go to God in prayer as a community. They stop whatever they are doing and look to the one who made heaven and earth. I'll never forget the time when one of my kids had a simple fall. We had a gathering with about 10 or 15 people, and one of my kids fell from the chair, hit their head on the ground. Everybody, as a natural reaction, everybody just started running towards my child to see. And they immediately go and lay their hands on my child. And they started, all of them started praying, asking God for healing, for direction, for wisdom, how to care. After the prayer, then we all decided, okay, now how can I give him some water, give my child this or that. And I want to learn this same sober reality of the authority of God in every situation, every circumstance, and stop leaning on my own abilities or the help of God's creation. I want to go to the source first, the Creator, instead of His created things. And more than looking at God as Creator, I think the psalmist is pointed to something greater, that God is authoritative over His creation. He's the one who made them. These so-called gods might think that they own the mountains, but Yahweh, He is the maker of them. And He can call the shots on these mountains. The journeymen have no need to fear, because we look to the one who made the mountains and has authority over them. Why would we doubt and wonder what will happen when nothing can stop the Lord who is on our side? So what situation, what circumstances, what about this pandemic is overwhelming you today? Surrender it to the one who made heaven and earth, the one who has all authority over everything. Is this our cry in this season? He's not unaware of your situation. He's not unable to control and dictate circumstances right now. Nothing can stop God from doing whatever He wants. He has all authority over everything. So why would we fear? Gaze at the authority that God controls over His creation and rest in Him. Rest in the authoritative protection that He gives to us. The second characteristic that we see is that God's protection is active. So we see that God's protection is authoritative, and now we see that it is active. Verses 3 and 4, he says, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." As I mentioned earlier, the pilgrim to Jerusalem would have to be watchful for constant thieves and gangs on the road. And don't forget about the wild beasts that could come in at any moment while you are sleeping. You kind of had to sleep with the proverbial one eye open, if you will, on the journey. But our God, He is alive. And He is always in active pursuit and protection of His people. This is in contrast to the gods of this world. When we were living in South Asia, Julie and I wanted to visit a local temple. We were first living there, first visit. We wanted to go see and understand how the people lived there, in order for us to be more conversant with them and how they worshiped with their gods. And it was a mid-afternoon day. We walked to the local temple in our area. When we got to the entrance, there was a large iron-barred door chained shut to the temple. In the distance, we could see through the bars, we could see that there's a life-size idol back there. We went to ask the locals, what's the reason for the closure? Why did they shut it closed? How come you can't go in there and see? And they looked at us with a look like, you must not be from around here. I'm like, well, isn't it obvious? I kind of don't look like you. But they look at us like, why would you ask that question? And they answered that it was because the god was taking his afternoon nap, of course. You can't bother him while he's taking his afternoon nap. So they shut the door. And we think that this is humorous, because in our Judeo-Christian society, we all know that God must be awake all the time and not sleeping. But in most societies around the world and most religions, they have an understanding that gods need to be taking breaks and taking care of us. It's a hard work, and so they need to take breaks. It's rough here on earth. They also need their nap just like we do. So don't become numb to the fact that the God of the Bible, the one true God of the universe, never sleeps, never gets tired, never gets weary, never needs a little nap, never needs that extra little cup of coffee. And this is why the psalmist has to repeat himself twice. So we have to say it, he has to say it twice on this incredible truth that he never tires in taking care of his people. He is constantly active. When we are worn out, when we're spent, exhausted, needing a break, it is God who is active in taking care. It is He who is keeping us at that moment. When we are sleeping, He is keeping us. We don't have to be certain to know all the latest updates and news, constantly checking for the latest update on our phones. The Lord, He never sleeps. He is taking care. If the Lord is taking rest and sleeping on the job, then yes, let's worry like crazy. But He's not. He's not. He is in active protection mode all the time. So rest in Him. He's got it. He's got it. Give it over to Him. You can trust Him with your life because He is always an active in guarding your life. So He is authoritative, His protection is active, and third thing that we see is that God's protection is comforting. God's protection is comforting. Verses 5 and 6, it says, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." See, the terrain for the pilgrim is not only rocky and filled with robbers, but it's also just roasting outside. It was hot, so hot in those days. Again, no AC in the vehicle on the way to Jerusalem. Heat strokes and dehydration were a reality for these travelers. There's no shade, there's no umbrellas. When I start on a long road trip, I just love to stop at the quick shop and get a nice big fountain drink to relieve me from my heat stroke. They don't have that opportunity. Nope, not for these travelers. This danger of heat is a grave reality for them. But notice what this says. It says that the Lord is your keeper. He's going to be your shade. He is your shade on your right hand. Notice the present tense verb there. It does not say the Lord will be your keeper. It doesn't say he will be your shade. It says he is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Many times on our journey, we believe that God is only there when we need him. Like he's our backup call if we fail. Or if we're good enough, then he can give us rest. No, right now he is keeping you. Right now he is fighting for us in ways that we can't even imagine. He's not going to let the heat overwhelm you. He isn't going to let you go crazy in the midst of this crisis or any situation you might be going through. You might think that you will, but as you are holding on to him, he is holding even tighter to you. Notice one more thing, that the psalmist says that the Lord is your keeper. He is your shade. I just love the intimacy that God gives to his people here. He is ours. This is love. It's not begrudging protection. We have this authoritative king who is authoritative over all of his creation, who made heaven and earth, and he is your keeper. Ours. Transcendent, yet condescending. So the Lord gives you rest. He gives us comfort. When the troubles surround us, when it feels like the walls are caving in, when it feels like if one more thing happens today, you're just going to break, he's there. He's your shade. He's your relief. You can hide in him. When you think that this pandemic has brought you to your breaking point and you just want to just scream and let it out, he's there. He's your shade. More than any friend or any counselor could be. Even if everything were to open up and things just get back to normal as things were, our Lord is our comfort and our shade still. Because the next thing is going to come. The next thing will come. But our hope is that the sun, these problems, these issues of life will not destroy us. We might sweat, we might get thirsty, but we're not forsaken. 2 Corinthians 6, 8 and 9 says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." We do not lose heart. We have a comforter in our protector. So you've seen that he is authoritative in his protection. He is active and he's comforting in his protection. And last, fourth and finally, we see that God's protection is comprehensive. God's protection is comprehensive. Verses 7 and 8. "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." The conclusion of this psalm is where the psalmist just goes off and says, everything is covered by the Lord. Nothing is outside his purview. It's not just delivery from our major sins. He delivers us from the minor sins. It's not just protection from our enemy, Satan. He protects us from ourselves. It's not just particular paths that we might take, but every path He is guiding on our journey. It's not just in this life only, but for all of eternity He is protecting His people. I love how this psalm ends. We are given hope that our sins won't condemn us. He protects us from those sins that accuse us. For those who are in Christ, they have been set free from the curse of sin and death. Our shame has been removed and we now stand in honor before God. He protects us from the accuser. His love for His people provides the only way of escape, and that is Himself. Because Christ, His only Son, gave His life for broken sinners, shamed outcasts like me and you, He won't let us be harmed by the wrath that stood against us. He has already taken that for us. For those who have given their lives to Christ and follow Him, don't let the accuser say anything to you, because he will keep your life. He will keep your life. And Christ will bring us all the way home. Nothing can stop that. He made sure of that by His own life. Paul in Romans 8 couldn't have said it any better. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Danger? Shall sword? Shall the coronavirus? Shall political leaders that drive us crazy? For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as the song we just heard from Mandy, O Jesus, I will hide in You, the One who bears my burdens. With faithful hands that cannot fail, You'll bring me home to heaven. This is our hope. Yes, Christ will keep us in this life, but not just here, but for eternity. Our protection is there, in our heavenly rest. And He's faithful. He promised. Even though we fail to hold on, He will always and forevermore hold on to us. So in conclusion, I want to share with you that these last couple months have been hard on my family. We've had to emergency leave our home, our relationships, our lives, our work, our ministry, leaving everything behind except for 28 suitcases. Our kids had to cross cultures into, for some of them, a brand new culture. Then quarantine for 2 weeks in a hotel room, and now live in close quarters with my parents, only to have no idea, not a clue as to what the next steps are in our lives. I mean, the future is literally a blank slate. Literally have no clue what is going to be next for us. We've had moments over the last several days of just breaking down, crying, unable to process this transition and this blank future ahead. Many people, they'll look at that and they'll say, wow, you guys are amazing. You guys are courageous. You guys can do that. I could never be able to do that. To be able to take your family overseas, live there, keep moving back and forth every 2 or 3 years, resettling. And I've told this to you before, Crestview, that, and I'm going to tell you it again, that it's not me. As I've been meditating on this psalm now for the last few weeks, it's been such a comfort for my soul that I'm not protecting myself. I'm not protecting my family. I'm not keeping my ministry, my work. I'm not even keeping my future. He is, and I can't think of a better hands to place that in. The Father, He is authoritatively working it out in my head, my heart, my hands. The Spirit is actively working His purposes in my life Christ is comforting me when times get hard, making intercession for me continually. This triune God is comprehensively taking care of me and my family. This is my hope. Don't look at me as someone who is brave, who is courageous. I'm the least from that. All I have is this hope in this same God that is before you, who is my confidence, my protection, my keeper. So today, will you allow Him to be your keeper? Come willingly to the One who can and does hold you. He will not let you go. You don't have to be alone today on this difficult and trying journey. As you seek the cross and our future eternal home, He will bring you to completion. And remember that nothing, no one, including yourself, can ruin that great rescue plan of God to be with you eternally. And Crestview, as these promises sink into your hearts, as we have this strong confidence that God is the protector of our life, we can apply what Phil said last week. We can make Christ our home, our shalom, our peace. We can start this journey with Him. We don't have to seek false peace in this life because we have protection here by the One who made heaven and earth. Church, this is my plea. If we can grasp this concept of God's protection, we will not only join Him on this journey and put everything in Him, we can joyfully put ourselves out there for Him. We can surrender our lives to Him and serve with the power of Christ's Spirit in us. We don't have to cower in fear of what might happen if we go outside of our comfort zones, don't go outside of our homes and serve people. Love people. We don't have to cower in fear of possibly losing our jobs because the Lord is your keeper. Crestview, rest in this love. Serve your community and world with a radical love and power that looks to others and not to our own self-preservation. Because God has our back in that category. Don't believe the lie that you must seek to preserve your life, because if you do, Christ promised that you will lose it. So trust that He has it. Practically trust it, day in and day out, in the smallest and the biggest of issues of life. And you can give that life to Him and to others. He's going to keep your life now and forevermore.